We're so excited to have this commission meeting. I'm Maureen Kamalu. It's my year to be chair. I have Vice Chair Bob Stevenson, another commissioner, Randy Elliott.
He's nothing.
Another one.
Just another one. He was just chair last year. So we rotate.
Not important.
Some of this is rotates. It's important for people to understand. So today is Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. We're starting at 10:02. And we are going to start with our Pledge of Allegiance. And I will actually start us on this, if everyone will please stand with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Well, first up is our recognitions, presentations, and informational items. And we have some very special guests. So this is the first time that we've been able to, or been on the radar of recognizing the effort of several high schools in Davis County. I've learned that not only this awesome high school and service student body officers, but there are, I think, all of these high schools on this list do something similar for their own school and community. And this is remarkable. Bountiful High, Clearfield High, Davis High, Farmington High, Layton High, Northridge High School, Syracuse High, Viewmont, and Woods Cross all have an annual service effort to pick a need in the community and to rally the troops of students and to raise funds to make a difference toward an organization that serves people who are vulnerable in our community. So how this started with this group, this is the Clearfield High School. This is the four service officers selected to be service officers out of 32 officers at the high school. Half are elected, half are appointed, I've learned. We'll state their names and have them come up in just a moment. But the connection for this group was that Eva, the chair, her parents know me. and all of us as commissioners do quite a bit of effort in the community and plenty of human services as well. So Eva came and met with me last summer. Gosh, I feel like it was June, early in the summer. Yes, like she was on it, and just wanted to learn more about the organizations that are partners for Davis County in the community that do very special and very important work. And so I told her about several. I believe that Eva and her group of the four of you did some research, and they selected the Children's Justice Center for Davis County to be the recipient of their service focus for this year. And so we actually do also have our interim executive director, Julie Stevenson, here from Children's Justice Center. When we take the picture, we would like for you to come up, Julie, as well. I know that you toured, right? You toured around, and maybe I'll let you tell more of your own story a little bit. It's wonderfully captured in a press release because this was such a big deal for Davis County. But very excited. Maybe I'll call you up by name in the order that I got your names as you came today. We're just really privileged to have young people who are service-minded from a young age throughout this county, and you do incredible things. We know you do incredible things that are never recognized, and sometimes that's the best of all, right? Just noticing people who need a friend. And no doubt all of you do a lot of that sort of work, which is not as public, but very important. But thank you for this very public effort, and we'd love to hear a little bit from each of you, maybe what, maybe Eva, you can share a little bit more of the background, and then each of you just something that stood out to you in this effort, what you learned, what you did. So let's have you come up together, then you can support each other. So Eva Butler, come on up first. You were the chair. And then Alyssa Ostad, come on up. Cole Flinders, thank you. And Brinley Twitchell, come on up. The four of you are the service officers for this class at Clearfield High School. So Eva, what would you like to tell us? Let's first clap.
Thank you. So one thing about Falcons Are Fabulous, the Clearfield High Winter Fundraiser, is it does not have one primary source of where we get the money. It is not from one activity. It is from just thousands of little tiny activities. Every penny counts. We don't get just one big donation and then a few small ones. It's a ton of small ones, and they build onto each other, and it is just the most amazing thing to watch. It just unfolds slowly, but it is so rewarding. So when we went to go tour the Children's Justice Center, we were still not sure if that was the charity we were going to choose. We had a good feeling about it, but of course we wanted to tour it first. So we were walking through, asking questions about each room, asking questions about the people who got to come here and benefit from their services. And then we sat down and watched a video and just asked questions. And just as a team, I think we all felt like this was the right place because it's so many hours of work and dedication. We want to make sure that it's a place that benefits the community in a special way, and it's not just going to be something where the money isn't needed, or we just wanted to make a difference. And so when we walked out of that building, we all just kind of met together and said, okay, how do you guys feel? And we were all like, yeah, I think this is where we're going to raise money for. And so that was sometime in the summer. And then later on, we started planning little by little. And then in December, we have 10 days to put it all into action, get the student body involved. And it was just, there's no words to describe how amazing it is to see a high school with children and adults just come together and raise money for something that could benefit people that they might even not know, but people that might be in the audience or in the community, they might know someone who could benefit from the Children's Justice Center, but you don't know. But we work hard leading up. We spend hours in a classroom planning. We have meetings. We come to school early to practice. We have auditions for people who want to lip sync for our lip sync battles, and that is so fun. And we just, those 10 days are so busy, but they are the best 10 days ever. They're so fun, so exciting, absolutely sleep deprived, but it's very worth it. And very up till the point where at the closing assembly, we get to reveal the check, and we revealed that we made $77,000, which was the highest record for Clearfield High. And everyone's clapping. Some people are crying, including us. We were definitely crying. And it's so rewarding. And it's just not something that we just leave and move on. It's something that I think will forever be a part of us. And we'll know that we could do this as a community. We have the power to make a difference. And it is just such an amazing opportunity.
So, and then there's a final total, because there was even more money after that, right?
Yes.
Do you remember the final total?
Yes. So our final total was $82,034.35.
It's just, I mean, wow. Yeah, it's a big, giant wow. Yeah, it touches all of us. Wow, thank you. Do you want your counterparts here to say something as well?
Okay, so I'm Alyssa, and I'm senior service. And kind of like Eva said, it was just such an amazing opportunity to be part of, like, FAF. We had no idea we would raise that much. We had a goal of, like, 48,000, and I just remember at the final assembly, me and Cole got to go back and, like, write the final score, and Verve was like, so it's 60-something thousand right now, but we need to, like, count all the money. So I was like, okay, like, we beat our goal, but, like, we didn't, like, go above and beyond. We were just like, 60,000, that's good. And then she told us the final thing was like 77,000, 78,000. And I freaked out. I jumped on Cole. I was like crying. I was like, this is crazy. I can't believe we raised 18,000 in just one assembly. So it was just so cool seeing all the students come together and really the community work together to raise money for something that could affect like kids in our own school that we don't even know. Like it can affect anyone. And the Children's Justice Center helps kids that are in need. And I just remember we had this fundraiser called Penny Wars, and the last day all the seniors came together and they brought buckets of pennies. We filled this whole wheelbarrow full of pennies just to make money, and it was crazy. And we all had to go on bank runs to count all the pennies, but it was just such a great opportunity to work together and make that much money. So
thank you. Another clap.
So my name's Cole. I'm junior service this year. This is my second year at Clearfield, so it's my second FAF, Falcons Are Fabulous fundraiser. And I don't even have words to explain the feeling of watching this community and this school come together and raise so much money for something that they know is going to do so much good in a community. Watching that just touches your heart so much. And knowing the hours that student government itself puts in our service officers and working for months and months up to FAF to raise that money and to help people in our community is just, it's the best feeling in the entire world. It will forever go down in my mind as one of the best things that I've ever been a part of, because it really is. And watching the good that one school and one group of people can bring to so many other people is amazing. And we do all of these fun activities throughout FAF. And like Eva said, it's just small little fundraisers that and fall small ways to raise money that all equal this giant grand total. And watching the entire student body participate in every single one of those activities is just amazing, because seeing so many students come together and want to help our community and want to move things forward, just it brings so much joy, and it shows what we are capable of and how much we can help other people and how much they care about our community and the kids in our community. And of course they love the fun activities, but we also know even without those activities, they would raise this money just to help those in our community. And knowing that we raised $82,000 and it's going to help so many people in our community, it's amazing. And it brings tears to our eyes. Like Alyssa said, me and Alyssa found out the final total and got to write it on the big check that we presented. And when they told us the total, I was like shocked. I was speechless. It was amazing. And
it's a lot of money.
It really is.
Especially when you're a high schooler.
Yeah, like exactly. High schoolers put in their paychecks and all of this money, and they give so much and they save up for the entire year. Like FAF ends and people are like, well, I'm going to go put all my tips and all my extra coins in this bucket and it's going to wait till FAF. And just seeing the love they have for this community and this fundraiser and every year a new charity is amazing, and I'm just so happy to be part of it.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Brindley. I'm sophomore service, so this is my first ever experience in high school. So as you can imagine, it was interesting to say the least. I had never been a part of FAF. I didn't really know what it was. I was kind of just, you know, going along with everyone else, saying like, oh, this is what we do. I'm like, okay, cool, this is what we're doing. All of them have said, like, your first FAF, you will never forget. And I will literally never forget it. It brings tears in my eyes just now. But it was such a cool experience just to see high school students, like, come together for this one cause and raise all these little money, like they said, and just come together as a school and as a community. Like, even though, like, the high school, we also had, like, some business funds, but that was nothing compared to what the students brought in. Like, they're just so good. And I dare say Clearfield is one of the best high schools in the district. They are.
Are you competing right now?
I'm not competing. I'm just saying it's a really good school, and the people there are so amazing. And just seeing them bring together for this one cause and just putting in all of their money. And when we flipped that check, like, I didn't know, like, Eva. And so I, like, turned and looked at it. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I had no words to describe. Like, I'm even if we raised like $20,000, I would have been so happy because it's going to such a good cause. And it's just so cool just to see the impact and how it will affect the Children's Justice Center from here on out.
Thank you, Brinley. Julie, do you want to describe the impact a little bit, that amount of money? Yeah, if you can gather your... Me too. That's why we don't wear mascara on our lower eyelids, right? For days. Come on up. Yeah. Share what something like this does for children across this county.
And we met it seems like forever ago when you came over to the center, and they were included in what it means to our community and the needs. We did talk about specific counseling, therapy. We have, fortunately and unfortunately, have more numbers than ever. Every year we've gone up about 100 every year, which is huge. And I have to admit, with the first email, when Eva said 45,000, I was like, I think she meant 4,500, but that's okay. I will admit, I thought maybe it was a mistype. But then with meeting with them and seeing the community, there are a lot of great schools, but I will say Clearfield is truly amazing. Anyway, and so the impact it will make is the county is very supportive. We're part of the CJC, but we fundraise. It costs money to help our kiddos. And like I said, our numbers go up every year, so there's more and more kids, and there's more and more kids out there that need help. And these funds will go towards needs that they have, because we do have needs that we just can't provide for. And it was just pretty amazing to see the hard work. That they were so cute, reserved me a spot out front where my car, walked me in the building.
Reserve one for me. I had to park illegally. I already admitted that in another meeting, which I shouldn't have admitted. Anyway, they know I'm supposed to be here. There's no parking.
That's a little detail, but it meant a lot because you guys were really focused on the cause. And in May, it'll be 20 years I've been working in this field, and I've never seen such an amazing thing, and worked with amazing kids and family. And to see, I was there for that final assembly, and when I walked in, it was still amazing. I was like 40, it was 50 something, it was a lot of money. But in those 4 hours, to see a community where technically the zip code is one of our lower income zip codes in our county, and to be there for the 4 hours and watch it go, not just from here, but like way high, and then even afterwards having it even go up $10,000-$12,000 more dollars, and to know where every penny of that's going to go, and the hard work that the students did, that I was so impressed with the community, and it will just make a huge difference.
Yes,
and
it will. So these are people who are served in, thanks, Julie, here. Julie will correct me, but I think I know the Children's Justice Center serves minors who've experienced trauma and or abuse, right? Yeah, it's a big deal. And there's a lot more of that in Davis County than people realize. The numbers are sobering. So it will go a long way to help them help more people and families, right? Caregivers and the people who are supporting these children. Yeah. So with that, I guess you don't have the paper or the cardboard that shows the amount on a check. That's okay. It's probably been framed and is in the hallway somewhere. Yeah, I'm sure you'll get asked for the picture if it needs to be shared any additional places. But let's have all the commissioners and these service officers and Julie come on up in the front here, and let's get a picture.
Okay, so we'll have to kind of scratch.
All right, one more item in our informational items, and this will be presented by Auditor Curtis Koch.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah.
It's not every day you can choke up an auditor, but that was amazing. So we have before you today a register of companies that have submitted a proposal for our grounds maintenance service contract, and we were just reading those into the record today. Those include Brightview Landscape Service, Inc., Huskies Landscape, Inc., One Source Property Maintenance, LLC, Scandia Company and Rubicon Contractors, Sierra Vista Landscape, TerraWorks Construction and Landscaping, Truco Services, and Works, Inc. Those proposals have been received and will be turned over to the department to work through a selection process. Want to thank all of the companies for submitting. We recognize that when we put out an RFP, it costs these companies time and money to put these proposals together, so we take this serious and want to certainly do our due diligence and come back with the best recommendation for our needs at this time to the commissioners, and you will have that in a couple of weeks. But I want to thank the companies, all eight of these, for submitting it. It really is a valuable process to the county and to the taxpayers.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Curtis. Okay, now it's time for our public comment. If there's anyone who would like to address the commission for about 3 minutes, feel free to come forward and just state your name, please.
Hi.
Can you hear me? My name is Amy Mata, and I'm with Bailing Out Benji. And I just came today because I wasn't working. And I wanted to encourage the commission to pass the sale of animals ordinance, which Ashley has brought forth to the commission. And I wanted to talk a little bit, just briefly, about the health issues that puppies can have that come from pet stores. So very briefly, they can have orthopedic problems, hepatic disease, cardiac disease, ocular disorders, umbilical hernias, blood disorders, endocrine disorders, allergies. They can have intestinal parasites like worm, giardia. They can have respiratory issues like bronchial infections and pneumonia, and infectious diseases that you've probably heard of, like parvovirus and canine distemper, ear problems like infections and mites, skin disorders like mange. All of these have been seen in puppies that have been purchased at a very high price from pet stores. They can have congenital defects like seizures, other neurological issues, skeletal disorders, hernias, like I've said, heart murmurs, cherry eye, cataracts, blindness, and deafness. Behavior issues that they've been seen to have, and this comes from a scientific journal, they can have fearful behavior like hiding, shaking, running away, aggressive tendencies like biting or snapping, and abnormal behavior like walking in circles repeatedly and eating feces. So, all these problems lead the buyer of the puppies to spend money at vets and trainers to fix their puppies. And it's on top of paying thousands of dollars for their puppy, they are very likely to have to spend thousands of dollars for the life of this puppy that they wouldn't normally have to. So again, I encourage you, and I plead with you, to please consider passing the sale of animals ordinance. Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Any other public comment today? All right, seeing none, let's move on to the business in action. No, we have a public hearing. So let's have our Jeff Euler, the planner here in Davis County, come on up and kick that off for us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Clearfield High School. That is a feel-good story. And after Curtis ruined the mood with his ground maintenance report, I'm going to bring you back up on a high with ag protection.
All right.
All right.
We're excited. Thank you.
So
we'll have to keep Randy in his seat.
this is exciting as it gets, Randy. All right.
Speedy, it's so exciting.
So we don't hold public hearings very often in the commission, but I don't know if we have public here today for this hearing, but I thought I'd just take 2 minutes and just kind of talk to you about what ag protection is. So agriculture protection is basically outlined in state law, and landowners can apply for this protection status. It essentially gives farmers and landowners protection against nuisance lawsuits, things of that nature for their farming practices. If there's neighboring subdivisions around these active farms, those neighbors can't sue the farmer for dust and smells and fertilizers and sprays that they spray on their farms. It also gives them protection against condemnation. If UDOT wanted to condemn property for a highway, they have to look at other reasonable alternatives first before they go down that route. And so it's things of that nature that ag protection protects. It's not a permanent protection. It's a protection as long as they want it. They can petition the commission to take their property out of protection anytime they want. I kind of call it a paper dragon. But there's quite a process involved in this. When an application is applied, we have to take those applications to the Davis County Agriculture Advisory Board. They make recommendations to the commission. We take it to our planning commission. They make a recommendation to the commission. And the Davis County Commission makes a final determination on these. We analyze and look at a number of things when we're going through this process as staff. We look at things such as, is the property zoned for agriculture? Is it currently being used for agriculture production? What is the extent of the improvements on the property? Things of that nature. We go out and we talk with the landowners and ensure that they are actually producing something with that land. So what is currently before you today is four different parcels of property totaling 25.87 acres. When we went, the Ag Advisory Board sent a positive recommendation. The Planning Commission has sent a positive recommendation. We're required to hold a public hearing in this meeting. And so you can take public comment. You're supposed to take into consideration those public comments. We also send out notice to all of the surrounding property owners around these areas, and they are invited to give either oral comment at this meeting or written comment. We receive no written comment about any of this currently proposed area. So I don't know if there's any questions that I can ask, or we can save those to after the public hearing. But
I think that's a great idea, actually. Any questions from commissioners? Okay, I don't have any either. I knew enough to be dangerous, but it's super helpful that you've reviewed as much as you have today. Yeah, very good. All right, so I'll take a motion to open the public hearing.
I'll make a motion that we open public hearing for this proposed agricultural protection area.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay, so now's the opportunity. If anyone is here or is inspired to speak for 3 minutes to the commission, we'd love to have you. come on up, sir. And if you just want to share your name and then your comment for about 3 minutes.
My name's John Percival.
Nice. Percival?
Percival.
Got it.
Name like his dad. Name like your dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. John, is it with an H? John, because the minute takers will try to spell your name. Is it J-O-H-N?
J-O-H-N.
Got it.
P-E-R-C-I-V-A-L.
Thank you.
We had to start this process down there because we feel like the county's throwing us under the bus out there. It's been mandated that you want to get rid of Davis County property. So they're trying to incorporate us into the cities out there. As long as it was county out there, we was fine. I mean, I raise cows, so I've got, you know, they make a little bit of a stinks, in especially, you know, weather like this. They're, so we're just trying to cover ourselves, you know, so we can just keep doing what we've been doing. I mean, I have a kind of a seasonal feeding deal, kind of run a, you know, I their cows are gone all summer and they're back in the winter for a while. And that's why we was pushing for this, is because, you know, we're gonna get annexed into the cities. There's no two ways about it. You know,
eventually they have their annexation plans, don't they?
Yes, mm-hmm. And we got one shot down, but they're coming at us again. I understand that the county wants to get rid of the county property. That's what they've told us in the city meetings. So we have to, you know, somehow kind of protect ourselves, and it is against nuisance lawsuits, you know. And so,
yeah, we are aware of this protection, and we are very much in favor of agriculture protection. Yes, we think it's a big deal. I know I'm not just speaking for myself, but it's big. Commissioner Elliott, you want to?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go a step further, I'm on the McAllister board, so just got appointed by the governor for ag protection on the higher level of selling your development rights, so that you keep it in perpetuity. But
you know what we're up against.
Yep, I know what you're up against. Yep, and I know what you're up against when it comes to development and everything else, and the pressure that we feel as a county is a lot of your neighbors want to develop. And so that's kind of the pressure that you're feeling, and that's what we're feeling here as a county. And, you know, my family, we grew up here in farming and everything else, and it pushed us in Farmington. We went to Idaho and still got a little bit down here, but I still have cows too, and it's a constant worry that we have. So,
John. That's all.
Yeah.
We're just trying to, you know, do what we've done forever.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming,
John.
Today. We very much appreciate you coming and sharing your own perspective. All right. Motion to...
I make a motion that we close.
Oh, yeah. Any other public comment? Thank you. Okay. Seeing none, we will move forward.
Make a motion that we close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And shall we proceed to that next item then?
And I'll make the motion to resolution to approve the application for the establishment of an agriculture protection area.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We have a picture of the four properties that are included in the action today, and congratulations, and I think it's very exciting to have agricultural protection areas. Thank you for coming. All right, let's move on then to additional business in action. First up, our animal care deputy director, Sydney Larrabee, presents one and two. Looks like that's it for today.
All right, so action item one for you is the approval of a partner application with Bissell Pet Foundation to participate in adoption events and grant funding. So essentially, just like it says, what this allows us to do is apply for their grants through Bissell, as well as participate in their Empty the Shelters events that they do, I believe, annually. These events allow us to provide either very low cost or waived adoption fees for our pets to the public, and then we get some reimbursement from that. So we're still able to get some compensation back for the care we've provided for those animals, but also allow our public to adopt them for a low cost, which is really excellent.
It is. Thank you.
That is a term beginning 3/1/2023 going to 3/1/2024. For action item number two, it is the approval of a standard service provider contract with VCA Lakeview Animal Hospital for veterinary services. VCA Lakeview has been, I've been working with them since about last October to kind of get this going to help us out in our spay-neuter efforts for these pets. As you know, it's state law that every pet has to leave the shelter spayed or neutered before adoption. So we work very hard to find some partners that are able to help us in that because we see, you know, thousands a year and got to get them done. So this is an excellent partnership with them that we're excited to have going.
Yes.
And that is a term of February 28th, 2023 to February 28th, 2024.
I'm just curious, where does this animal hospital, where is it located in
BC our county? Lakeview is located in Bountiful.
Bountiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic.
I'd make a motion that we approve items 1 and 2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Sydney. Next is the auditor's office with our elected auditor, Curtis Koch, presenting number 3.
Thank you, commissioners. What you have before you today is an amendment to financial documents that were issued in 2016 on our County Facility Revenue Bond Series A and Series B. These bonds were levied and are used by, it's not Kehoe Mac, we did, this is...
it's Janicki.
Janicki, yes, sorry. Used by Janicki Industries. In 2021, it was announced that the LIBOR rate would be terminated, and that interest rate index terminates on June 30th of this year. Those bonds were tied to that interest rate index, and so there needed to be adjustments and amendments to those documents. Once again, these bonds do not affect the county at all, but they're issued through the county with some tax-exempt benefits, and therefore the documents have to be amended through our process in the county. And so we've had bond counsel from Gilmore and Bell work on this and review those documents, and that is what you have before you today.
Terrific. Great explanation, Curtis. Thank you so much. So, yeah, there's not any other terms other than what Curtis explained.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Thank you so much. Okay, Children's Justice Center, we do have our Chief Deputy Civil Attorney, Neil Geddes, who will present some items. Next.
Yes, thank you. Item 4, we've heard a lot of wonderful discussion already today on the wonderful donation that the Clearfield students raised for the Children's Justice Center. This is just our simple donation agreement to document that these funds will go towards the children and the families that utilize our center. And that is for $82,034.35. And items 5 and 6 are for voice product and data software for our forensic interviews. Item 5 is renewal of a product with Voice Product Services LLC that helps us maintain the forensic video recording software and hardware. And then number 6 is Appendix D and DocuSign for a contract with Vidanix, which also helps us manage the child forensic interviews, just products that Julie and her team utilize on a daily basis.
Yes, very helpful. And Neil, on number 6, because it's my year's chair, I had repeatedly received information from Vidanix to have me sign something, but because I, at the time, didn't know what I was signing, I didn't sign it. Once it was explained to me what it was, and both Robert and Julie, I understood, you know, this is something to sign. I did sign it, so I think we'll need to remove it, and then it will be ratified probably in the next meeting. Does that make sense?
That's fine.
Yeah.
How many times did you send it to IT thinking it was a pushing email?
At least once. And they, right? You are my witness. So we are on it for the security of this county. We don't sign things that we don't know what they are. We don't open them even. Thanks for asking.
The question is whether you signed it before you sent it off to Mark.
No. Mark was the first line of defense. I did the little hook. I'm like, I don't know what this is, so you guys better figure it out. Yeah, that's why it took so long. And I just kept getting email after email from Vidanix. I finally said, I don't know what this is, and I'm not going to sign it until I know what this is. So,
I'll make a motion we approve items 4, 5, and 6.
Well, we got to table 4 and 5 and then table 6. Is that okay? Because it has to be ratified next week. Yeah. Okay. Neil's nodding yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that okay for the motion?
Well, my question is, if we're going to ratify it,
yeah,
then we need to pass it.
I think since you already signed it with this on the record indicating that you did sign it online, that you're... It's on the agenda. We're just going to approve it as a full commission today. Would be fine.
That sounds great. All right.
So I'm seconding Bob's approval of all.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Very good. Thank you for guiding us in that. Okay. So next is commission office. We do have amazing staff in the commission office. And because of the schedule of commissioners, when we sometimes have conferences and don't have a quorum here for a meeting, then we are approving the cancellation of regular commission meetings on these following dates: March 21st, 2023, April 4th, 2023, and May 2nd, 2023. And once in a while, we might be out of town with our family, right? So for any of those reasons. So I present that in number 7. And then, Bob, I believe you're presenting number 8.
Number 8, we're just pulling off the agenda.
Oh, you're pulling it off. Okay.
So I'll move approval of item 7.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Community and Economic Development, Kent Anderson, Director.
Thank you, Commission. Appreciate that. If you mind, would it be all right if I address one of those comments that was made during the agricultural protection area?
Please.
That was,
yeah,
made by John. There's maybe a characterization that the county is trying to get rid of county property. I don't believe that that's what was being meant either from the city or from John. I think the characterization would be better that land use and development is appropriate in incorporated cities. What was done today, the agricultural protection, is exactly what the land use in the unincorporated areas of the county makes sense for. So maybe that's a little bit better characterization of the county's trying to get rid of their property.
Thank you. Yeah, the language is kind of important to understand. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Item number 9 is an approval of the third quarter transportation grant interlocal cooperation agreement with Clinton City for the widening and reconstruction of 800 North between 500 West and 1,000 West. Terms payable in the amount of $1.516 million beginning 2/28/2023 to 2/28/2025. Items number 10, 11, and 12 are all connected. This is sometimes the great work that we get to do with tax sale properties. This is all relating to 18 square feet of property.
Wow.
To get this into the Department of Transportation's hands for the improvements of the 1800 North Interchange project, it's still good work. Item number 10 is an acknowledgement of the Utah agency disclosure with the Utah Department of Transportation and Tammy Evans on the acquisition of a tax sale parcel of land known as tax ID 13076-0070 for UDOT as part of the I-15 1800 North Interchange project. Item number 11 is the acceptance of the real estate purchase contract with Utah Department of Transportation for the sale of a tax sale parcel of land known as tax ID 13076-0070 to UDOT as part of the I-15 1800 North Interchange project, receivable in the amount of $250. And finally, item number 12 is an approval of an execution of a quick claim deed with the Utah Department of Transportation conveying a tax sale parcel of land known as tax ID number 13076-0070 to UDOT for the right-of-way of 1800 North as part of the I-15 1800 North Interchange project.
Yeah, great. I was reviewing, one's a disclosure, one's a contract, and one's a quick claim deed, all of the process.
You got it. Each of them are individual signatures, and that's why those have come as three separate items.
Thank you so much for explaining all of that. For 18 square feet. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Number 13 is ratification of an amendment to the real estate purchase contract for land with IGOG LLC, a Utah limited liability company. This is our ongoing purchase agreement with the property just north of the conference center. And so hopefully our next amendment will be the final amendment. I know I've sent that probably 9 times.
but who's counting?
All right.
Yeah.
And then finally, item number 14, we would like to table.
Very good.
I'll move approval of items 9 through 13 and tabling item 14.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Kent. All right. Our facilities director, Lane Rose, has 2 items, 15 and 16.
Good Morning, Commission. Lane Rose, Facilities Director. Item number 15 is a contract with WHW Engineering, LLC. This is for mechanical engineering services to replace the pump and boiler system at our Layton Branch Library. This is kind of the third phase of HVAC replacement out there. This is payable in the amount of up to $12,125. Terms 2/21/2023.
Yeah, so hang on one second. 2/21/2023 to 12/31/2023. Okay.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot of the same numbers in both of those.
Second, item number 16 is amendment to an existing contract with Hells Engineering LLCC. This is for our event center project. This is just for some additional services. The city reviewed their traffic impact study and needed some additional work done on that. This is payable in the amount of $10,050. It is noted the additional amount is just $1,650. So just a minor change. Terms beginning 2/28/2023, ending 5/31/2023.
So again, the city needs some more traffic study for the impact of...
Yeah, they had a third-party review of our impact study, and yeah. So they needed some more.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. It's going to be popular.
I'd make a motion we approve items 15, 16.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Lane. All right, we have our Information Systems Director, Mark Langston, with number 17.
Thank you, Commissioners. It's Mark Langston, IT Director. Item number 17 is an agreement or approval with agreement with the State of Utah, Division of Government Operations, Department of Government Operations, Division of Technology Services. It's a change in agreement with our state internet service. It's a payable of amount of $17.48 a month, beginning February 1st. Reality-wise, it's an increase of $500. We're moving our internet service fee, our internet connection from the state from 300 meg to a gigabit connection.
Oh.
This agreement's just a pay difference.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thanks for that explanation.
Approval of item 17.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Very good. Public Works Director Adam Wright. Looks like you have 18 and 19.
Yeah, item 18, is approval of the SF-299 with the U.S. Department of Interior Bureau of Reclamation for the development of Rockloft Estates, LLC. So you guys occasionally see these SF-299 for infrastructures being built by different developers on Bureau easements. There's a city street going to be put in over Bear Creek, and the culvert that's underneath that will be our responsibility. So this agreement will give us the ability to enter that easement and be able to maintain that culvert.
So you'll go up by Rockloft, sounds like.
Yeah, just south of Rockloft there.
Interesting.
Terms beginning 2/28/2023, and this will be forever.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Item number 19, this is approval of the grant of a locked gate access with the Department of Transportation for the right to access to Haight Creek. So with Shepherd Lane being rebuilt, there's an opportunity for us to be able to have better access to Haight Creek between the highway and the railroad. They will have a discharge going into it, so that gave us the ability to ask for access to that location where we haven't had access before. Terms on this, it's payable. Terms payable in the amount of $10 beginning 2/28/2023, and this will be forever as well.
Terrific. Thank you.
Approve items 18 and 19.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Real quick, Adam, how's the snowtail sites looking? Anything for the spring? Are we going to be easing in?
So we're a little heavy right now for this time of year. The amount of snow that's up there currently, we can handle no sweat as long as it doesn't get too hot immediately. Looking at previous graphs of the snowtail, we've handled much more than's up there, but we're seeing the signs of it continuing to go up. So in the next month and a half, we'll be able to determine better what kind of situation we're going to be in. But as of right now, what's up there, it can be handled.
It's great to have that concern.
So it's being watched closely.
Is there a forecast for our spring, and is it going to be kind of a cooler spring? Do we know that? Probably someone knows that, huh?
God.
Oh.
God.
Yeah, looking at the long-term forecast right now, there's going to continue to be more snow. So if they're like the storms we've just seen the last few weeks, yeah. Well.
I just want to explain that I went to an annual very technical meeting about Utah water, and there are people who know things, but they're just going about it the scientific way. They don't know as much as the man above. So, yeah, it's true. But they do forecast, so I'm just curious. Anyway.
With the forecast you've seen, did you see cooler?
Well, this forecast was, they were, the people who are experts were on the fence about whether it was going to be a Nina or a Nino, you know. And so, obviously, we had whichever one produces a lot more moisture, which is wonderful. But, yeah, there are people who might take an educated guess, but... Anyway, either way, we have to be ready, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay, and you know, that's actually, I think, come on up, Chief W. Oblad, but 16 flood channels are what Davis County maintains. So in the law, that is a county responsibility to maintain 16 flood channels. Our public, is that right? Oh my gosh, why have I only 16 are on the mountain, right? 16, yeah. So we have ongoing discussions about these. 16, we are actively working to prevent fire danger. And then all the rest, wow, yeah, that's a lot that we maintain. So thank you. Okay, so we have from the Sheriff's Office, our Chief Deputy Andy Oblad with number 20, and that's it for today.
That's right. So good morning, I'm Andy Oblad. This number 20 is the... SCRAM program, the approval of release of liability, waiver of rights, participation agreement for the secure continuous remote alcohol monitoring program. And number 20 is for these six participants, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Terms are receivable in a varied amount based on tests used and monitoring fees based upon final signature. This will run until the participant is no longer under court order to participate in the program.
Terrific. We get these a lot, and I'm so glad it's a successful program. I move approval of 20.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
I move that we recess to Board of Equalization.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Auditor Curtis Koch will present today's property tax register to consider.
Thank you, Commissioners. You have for your consideration under auditor adjustments for corrections. We have 10 veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2022. And that is the extent of your property tax register for today, February 28th, 2023.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Move that we recess to, move that we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thanks, everyone. Time for any comments from our elected clerk? Yes, he does. Thank you.
Stand by 1 second.
Okay. Can I move to Auditor Koch. Thank you.
No comment. Thank you.
Oh, no comment. Okay.
Just buying time.
Yeah.
Just buying time.
No comments. Elliot, it's up to you. Oh, no comments. Stevenson? No.
Look, you see what it says right there.
Oh, we're waiting for the clerk. You know, I'm going to have to dig because my comments were probably all commented earlier.
We've
got a call here.
Yeah, hang on just a second.
I can actually, going back to the first item, that was just incredible. I happen to know from firsthand experience they reconciled over $1,000 in pennies. It was incredible what those folks did. So the students, she said every penny counted.
Auditor excitement, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot of pennies.
There's a reason I got choked up.
Yeah.
Too bad you're not the treasurer, Curtis. I would have come in and paid my taxes and pennies.
Oh, what a... It was amazing. Clerk, Brian McKenzie.
I have two comments, Commissioners. Just one point of clarification as I've been visiting with Kent to just make sure that we had everything for that resolution to approve of the agricultural protection area. There is a plan that has some requirements and documentation. I'm talking with Kent. With your permission, I would just like to note for the record that we will take some of those additional notes and staff reports that kind of complete that record and attach that to the finalized resolution for record-keeping purposes, if that's all right.
Sounds good.
And then the second one, I wanted to make a comment about what was presented from Clearfield High, and one of the comments that they made there that I think each of us should take to heart, regardless of the money or the resources or the abilities or whatever. I think it was Eva that said, as a community, we can make a difference. And I think that's so important for us to remember, that each of us within our own sphere of influence are a member of a community, and as a community, we can make a difference.
That's very well said, Brian. Thank you for adding that. With that, we will adjourn. Thanks, everyone.